This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Tuesday, May 24th. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across America. It's always great to be with you, especially this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, just in case you haven't had a chance, you've heard about it, you've heard us talking about it for the last number of days, in fact, most of last week, but you yet haven't ordered your copy of Father Aki's new book, The Memorary Moment. Well, today's the day. You can learn much more about the power of the Memorary. All you have to do is get Relevant Radio CEO Father Aki's new book, The Memorary Moment, the 30-second prayer that will change your life and the world. It's 100% free. Doesn't cost you a penny. You can order it this morning at relevantradio.com. In fact, all you have to do is go to the front page of our website, again, relevantradio.com, to order Father Aki's book, The Memorary Moment. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what are a few stories that are making headlines this hour?
Well, John, with 2022 being a midterm election year, all eyes on anything related to elections, including primaries. Five states have those today down south. All eyes on Georgia, Alabama, Texas, some races that find President Trump endorsing some candidates and some other Republicans endorsing others. Some see this as a little bit of maybe an inkling toward what might be going on in 2024, whether President Trump will run again. Mike Pence's fortunes, perhaps. In Georgia, there's, set up one versus the other situation. Governor Brian Kemp is running once again, and President Trump has endorsed former Senator David Perdue, whereas Kemp has the endorsement of Mike Pence. We'll see what happens there. Also, kind of interesting in Texas as well, Democratic pro-life Congressman Representative Henry Cuellar being primaried there. It's kind of a look to see if there's still room in the Democratic Party for a pro-life candidate, John.
Well, there are so few, they are so rare, that it definitely will be interesting to see how Mike Cuellar does. Back to Trump and Pence, do you think that this is has the potential of causing some division, even maybe a split within the Republican Party?
Oh, hard to see over just one race there. A lot of Republicans aren't happy with how crazy things went down on January 6th. Whether President Trump is serious about trying to run again in 2024, we really don't know. But political pundits, live for days like today. So let's see what happens.
And also, monkeypox continues to be in the news. In fact, we talked about it last hour with Dr. Bob Tabali. What's going on? What news should we be aware of when it comes to monkeypox?
Well, I've seen a lot of it leading piles of headlines over the weekend and into early this week here. But as Dr. Tabali said, it's not COVID. It's not spread quite like COVID. It appears to have this latest outbreak stemmed from a couple of rave parties in Europe. Just a handful of cases expected to be confirmed here in the U.S. and appearing to largely be spread by sexual contact in the gay community. That appears to be the primary thing right now, other than the traditional way through rodents in Africa. But seeing that break out of Africa, it's similar to smallpox in terms of smallpox vaccines will work against monkeypox. And as the doctor said earlier in the last hour, there are treatments for it as well. So we don't look like this to turn into, another COVID. And I don't see all the hype myself,
Yeah, there's no reason to worry. And again, the numbers are really minuscule, less than 100 confirmed cases in 12 different countries. We're talking about countries, let alone here in the U.S. There's less than 5 that are confirmed as of just a few days ago with the latest stats from the World Health Organization. So be not afraid. Don't worry about monkeypox.
Hey, that's right. We'd rather worry about baseball, and I know you're just a little bit of a baseball fan, especially when it concerns your son, John. Maybe one day he'll get to play on the Field of Dreams in Iowa, near Dyersville, Iowa, the site of that great movie from years back, one good enough to bring a tear to a guy's eye when they pan up at the end of the movie and that line of car headlights stretches on to the horizon. Love that. But they're looking to build a new $140 million youth sports complex and a permanent stadium on the Major League Diamond that they set up near the original where the White Sox played last year, John.
One of the all-time great baseball movies, Kevin Costner and Field of Dreams. You know, when you think about you know, the opportunity for kids to be able to play baseball on that same location where the White Sox and Yankees went at it in a legendary game last year. I was on vacation and I was riveted to my TV watching that game and the way the White Sox won it in dramatic fashion. It almost looked like a Hollywood movie, the way that game ended. So for the kids to be able to play on there, that's going to be fantastic.
You know, baseball might not have exactly the same spot it did, you know, a generation or two ago in American life. But for anybody who grew up playing catch with their dad, you know, anything related to Field of Dreams really sparks some things deep inside.
Oh, there's no question. Baseball is still our American pastime, our national pastime. You know, just to put it in perspective, I mean, kids, you know, high school kids in the past would be able to play, you know, a state championship game or a city championship in a major league ballpark. I know guys that have played in the old Metrodome or even here at Wrigley Field, high school players that got to play. My son this weekend got to play at Illinois Benedictine College in a travel tournament. What a thrill it is for those kids to play on a college baseball field with stands and they sing the national anthem, and it's such a thrill for the kids. This will be multiplied times 10 on steroids for any kid that gets to play on the field where Field of Dreams was filmed.
Yeah, he loved to step on that field myself, too, after all these years.
Me, too. You know, when it comes to baseball, you and I are kids at heart, no doubt.
Absolutely. Folks, keep loving baseball. It'll keep you young.
Anything else in the news headlines that we need to keep an eye on? What's the latest with Ukraine?
Well, latest in Ukraine, Vladimir Zelensky has spoken to the economic summit in Davos, Switzerland, and letting folks there know that he's only interested in negotiating with Vladimir Putin himself, as he's the one who can stop the fighting in Ukraine. Ukraine says it doesn't want to give up any territory, including things taken over a few years ago, like Crimea and parts of the eastern Ukraine in the Donbass region by Russia. They're not looking to let any territory go as part of negotiation at this point. It's interesting. Henry Kissinger, longtime diplomat for America, has said that, well, Ukraine has to give up some just to end the fighting. Not a popular viewpoint right now. And so that continues in many, many other countries, along with the U.S., increasing aid here in the last week or so as well. So the fighting, again, heaviest in the east, and that looks to continue for a while, John.
From a supernatural perspective, we continue to pray for an end to this war between Ukraine and Russia. Continue to unite our prayers to those of the consecration of our Holy Father a few months ago. So, as always, thanks for your perspective, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin this hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, as we do every morning, always asking through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I do every Tuesday, I always take a moment just to remind you that we should pray to our guardian angel. Even though you can't see your guardian angel, they are absolutely present with you. We should ask our guardian angel for help in our everyday lives. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Romans 6, 9. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him." St. Paul reminds us of the power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Mother Church, in its infinite wisdom, provides us with 50 days during this Easter season to continue to reflect and to meditate on the meaning of the greatest miracle of all time, the resurrection of our Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you living the risen life of faith? Are your desires and thoughts new and transformed since this Easter Sunday? So live the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and do it today. Today is the day. We always pray with great confidence the prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. Again, our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. You can always shoot us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now let's talk about love. The King is exalted on high. This week, Catholics across the globe will be celebrating Ascension Thursday, or the Solemnity of the Ascension of our Lord, including in the ecclesiastical provinces of Boston, Hartford, New York, Newark, Omaha, Nebraska, and Philadelphia, though it will be celebrated this Sunday in all other U.S. Dioceses. Our resident lophologist and love lady, Martha Fernandez Sardina, will share with us what the Ascension of our Lord says about love. Martha is an international bilingual speaker, the former director for evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio. She's also the founder of Remember You Are Loved. Good morning, Martha. Thanks so much for being with us. It's always a joy to be with you.
Great to be with you, John. Good morning to you all.
After all, we are in the season of joy here during this Easter season as it's starting to wind down and we're about to celebrate Ascension Thursday, or the Solemnity of the Ascension of our Lord on Sunday. What exactly do we celebrate with the Ascension?
Well, I would suggest that we celebrate six things. We don't always see all these, but it's Christ's bodily departure from earth. I say bodily because he remains with us spiritually, but actually bodily also in the body of blood, soul, and divinity. Secondly, his eternal reign as victorious king of the universe. Thirdly, his promise to send the Holy Spirit as our advocate and guide, which we will be celebrating very soon. Fourthly, his intercession before the Father for us. Fifthly, Christ preparing a place for you and for me in heaven. And lastly, sixthly, Christ's promise to return again in glory, just as the angels said to the apostles. So we celebrate his bodily departure, and he himself speaks about it. We see it at the very beginning of John's gospel in John 3:13. He says, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." So he's already speaking about it earlier on. And then in John 7, we see that he says, "I am with you for only a short time, and then I am going to the one who sent me." So he is returning back to the Father. In John 16, the Lord says, "I came from the Father and entered the world, and now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." So he's going where he belongs, there where he came from to love us and to save us, and he's going back there to continue loving us and the work of salvation of mankind. And I love when he says to Mary Magdalene in John 20, 17, and we saw this at the very beginning of this Easter season, John. He says to her, "Do not hold on to me, noli mi tangere, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." And then he says, "Go instead to the brothers, to the apostles, right, and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So there, right here in the ascension of our Lord, with the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord, we see that dynamic of love in which the Lord is saying, he's my Father and your Father, he's my God and your God. And there are some other beautiful passages in which we see this. And of course, in Acts of the Apostles, the very beginning of Acts, when it says in Acts 1, 3 and following, after his suffering, he, meaning the Lord, presented himself to them, to the disciples, and gave them many proofs that he was alive. And this is what we have been celebrating throughout this Easter season, right? And we have another few days. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And then it says that while he was eating with them, he gave them the command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about." And then he says, "It's the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then it says in verse 9 of Acts 1, after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from sight. So there we see his bodily ascension. And it's so amazing that the angels say, "Why do you stand there, men, just looking up?" Because the same way that he ascended, he will return again in glory. And I say to that, wow.
Amen. And Martha, before the ascension in the Great Commission in chapter 28 of the Gospel of St. Matthew, our Lord promises that he will be with us always until the end of the world. So this is very deep. There's a lot to really ponder and think about of what we exactly are celebrating on Ascension Thursday. What does the Ascension of our Lord have to say about love, which is our topic every week?
Well, I believe that the Lord in his love has left us, even though he has remained with us. He himself says it in the Gospel of John. He says that you would be happy to let me go, because if I do not go, I will not be able to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, your advocate. So there's a strange way, because normally we don't like our loved ones to depart. In fact, we mourn the loss of loved ones. We don't want them to leave us. And yet in this sense, it's a good thing, the Lord is saying. And also because he had promised that his joy would be in us and it would be complete. And not only that, but we need to celebrate the fact that he is there reigning as the eternal, glorious, victorious King of the universe. And St. Timothy talks about that. St. Paul talks about that in his letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:16. He says that beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. And he says that the Lord appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, and was believed in the world and taken up in glory. So we should rejoice in the glorification of Christ and the fact that he is exalted at the right hand of God and was received by the Father and has sent us the promised Holy Spirit, as we see in Acts 2. And so we celebrate with joy that he's also, which I think is a sign of our Lord's love, that we're celebrating the fact that his love for the Father is so immense and so intense and eternal that he wants to be with the Father. And so that's also an invitation to each one of us to long for our departure one day, in God's timing, not ours, to be with the Father, to be in that relationship of love that knows no end. And we also celebrate the love of the Lord shown in that sending, as I mentioned a few moments ago, of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of love, who inebriates us, who fills us, who makes us a temple of God, as we said last week. And so in that, we see also the love of the Lord. I would say that we also celebrate the Lord's love in his trust for us, and that he's counting on us to evangelize, or lavangelize, as I like to say. In other words, he has gone back to the Father and he's left us nothing less than his own very mission of bringing the world to know him. And that is an amazing sign of love and trust. And he's also showing us that in his love, that we were not made for earth. We were certainly not made for hell, which was made for Satan and demons. though some people may choose to go there, but rather we were made for heaven, and that he has preceded us and opened the way, he who is the way, so that we might live with him in victory and glory forever in heaven.
To ponder, to meditate on the reality that God is love, as St. John writes in 1 John, it's a very, very deep. I always think of Deus Caritas Est, the encyclical by Pope Benedict, that went so deep into that idea.
Absolutely. In fact, we sing a song with that same title often at Mass where I go, Deus Caritas Est. And the love of the Lord is what we must aspire to have fill us. And the fact that the Lord is before the Father interceding for us is a great consolation, as we see in Romans 8, that the Lord is not only the mediator of grace and the one and only Savior, but he's also making intercession for us. Not only is he making intercession for us, but the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us and is praying within us with groans that are known by God alone. We see that in Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And if we were really to ponder that as we get close to Pentecost now and pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we should be asking for that deep, deep abiding prayer, which is really love. Prayer is a sign of love, is a means to love, and makes love grow. And it says that God searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we see in Romans 8 also where it says, who will separate us from the love of God? Will death or famine or this or the other, war? No, none of that. What can we say, St. Paul says in Romans 8, 31 through 35. What can we say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare or withhold his only son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not give us everything else instead, right? And he says that who will bring a charge against God's elect? If it is God who justifies us, who will condemn us? If Jesus Christ died, in fact, was raised and is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us, who will separate us, John, from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? None of these. In Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. And that, the ascension, shows us also that the Lord in his love has made us more than conquerors. And we can conquer indifference. We can conquer hatred. We can conquer lust. We can conquer everything that is an enemy of love through the risen and ascended Lord.
Absolutely. As we prepare for the ascension of our Lord, how might we look at our own days, our stay here on earth, whether it's short or long, whether it's fruitful or tragic as it may be, in light of the Lord's short life on earth and his victory and his ascension into heaven?
Well, you know, his life was kind of short, right? 33 years old, and yet look what he has accomplished. And it looked tragic, right? A tragic ending with the crucifixion, although that wasn't the ending, of course. It was the resurrection and ascension, as we're saying. But for many, they thought, that's it, that's over. We can learn a lot about seeing things the way God sees things. Seeing what God sees and learning to see ourselves as God sees us, learning to see our life, the value of our life as God sees it, that love, the love of God is so intense that he was willing to descend from heaven, to leave heaven and come down here and to die such a tragic death in order to save every single human being, to redeem humanity and the universe, as it were, even knowing that not all will respond to that redemption. And yet that love of God is still extending itself toward each one of us. And so in that too, we can learn that no matter how tragic our life might be, no matter how tragic things around us might be, no matter how short-lived our life on earth is or how fruitless it might be, we must have the perspective of eternity, that we too one day will die and rise again. And one day we too will ascend to the Lord. One day we too will be caught up in glory. One day we will actually have glorified and resurrected bodies. And so meanwhile, we can look at life and live life with the eyes of faith. We can live life and love life with the eyes of hope. And we can live and love life and live in love with others with the eyes and the heart of love, just like our risen and ascended Lord.
Absolutely. And St. Paul reminds us that if you don't have love, you basically have nothing. Martha, in the final moments that we have here, how might we prepare ourselves to really celebrate with all of our heart this glorious solemnity of the Ascension of our Lord, whether we celebrate on Ascension Thursday or this coming Sunday?
Well, first of all, ponder, really, really ponder the glorious mysteries of the Rosary, because right there we have, of course, the resurrection and the ascension and the descent of the Holy Spirit, and then the two mysteries to Our Lady of her assumption and her glorious crowning as Queen of Heaven and Earth. Ponder those and read Scripture. Ponder the passages that speak about the Lord's ascension and His intercession and the place that He is preparing for you, because that's one of the other great things we celebrate, that He is preparing a mansion for you. Finally, I will have Martha's way. It'll be the street where I live. I don't know. But each one of us is going to have a place in heaven with our name on it. And we are going to have a name that the Lord alone knows. And make your travel plans. The reservations have been made for you. The ticket has been purchased. There's a place that's being prepared for you. And the travel plans are underway. So don't miss the flight, so to speak. Don't miss the opportunity to be raised up with Christ one day and to live with Him for all eternity. And begin now on Thursday, precisely. Around the world, most countries will be celebrating Ascension Thursday. In the United States, it's moved, except for those ecclesiastical provinces that you mentioned, it's moved to Sunday. But we begin on Friday, right after Ascension Thursday, we begin the novena to the Holy Spirit. And so that's one great way to celebrate both Ascension and prepare to celebrate Pentecost. Ask for a fresh outpouring of the gifts of the Spirit, the charisms of the Spirit, a refreshing of the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, and ask for a greater growth in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, so be praying Isaiah 11, be praying with 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, all those places where it talks about the gifts and the charisms and the theological virtues, and then the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. That is a great way to prepare and to celebrate this awesome mystery of the Ascension and Pentecost and close up the Easter season.
That is quite an assignment there, Martha. That's a lot to study, a lot to really ponder and meditate on. This is what I love about our discussions. You know, they may accuse Catholics of not being Bible Christians, but there's no doubt on this show, we absolutely love Scripture.
Absolutely. I love the Lord and I love Scripture. I came to know Him through it. And although it sounds like a lot, that's a great place to start. If you want to go with Corinthians 12, into 13, which you referenced at the start of the show, you know, that where you just did a minute ago, actually, that if we can speak the tongues of angels and we can perform miracles and we can do all kinds of things, but we have no love, we have nothing, we are nothing, we can do nothing. Or take Ephesians 4, where it talks about the different gifts. Some are teachers, some are pastors, some are evangelists, and each one has the gift for the upbuilding of the body. So whatever it is, the passage that you're going to take, I would really highly recommend that you do that as a homework assignment and let the love of the Lord bathe you. And I would also be asking for a special grace. Maybe it's one virtue, one gift that you need. I'm going to be praying again this year, especially for the gift of courage. And with all our New Testament friends, ask them to intercede for you and your family, for your friends and your community, and for our church and our world. So we really could use their intercession, and we need a miraculous and glorious God intervention now more than ever. So pray, pray, pray.
Martha, real quick, where can our listeners find you if they want to invite you to study the Scriptures and hear from you live?
Oh, they can find me at marthafernandezsardina.com. You can send me an email, or you can also find me at rememberyouareloved.com and message me right there through social media. You can also watch right there on rememberyouareloved.com my 12-part series on love. So yes, I'd love to come out to your parish or diocese, speak about love, evangelization, or Scripture, and to tell you in person, remember you are loved.
And so are you. Martha Fernandez Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, you'll hear my conversation with Professor Harry Kramer on the meaning of Easter joy during this Easter season. Stay with us as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday in the sixth week of Easter. Yes, we are still in the Easter season or Eastertide. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. That is from Psalm 118, as heard in the responsorial psalm from Mass during the octave of Easter, but it's still in play today. Easter is more than just a day. The Catholic Church gives us the octave of Easter and, of course, the 50-day Easter season that we are celebrating and that we continue to celebrate the joy of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. I recently spoke to Morning Air regular contributor Professor Harry Kramer about Easter joy for everyday life. Harry is a professor of management and strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management and an executive partner with Madison Dearborn Partners, one of the largest private equity firms in the U.S. Listen to the first part of my conversation with Professor Harry Kramer. Good morning, Professor Harry. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. It's great to be with you once again.
Happy Easter, John. Great to be with you.
Let's talk about joy. Why is the Easter season called this season, this time of joy?
Well, I think you said it very well, John. At the end of the day, when you think about Easter, thinking about it as one day is a little crazy. I mean, when you think about, you know, Jesus coming on the earth, dying for all of us, rising from the dead. I mean, what an incredible joy, how blessed we are to be Christians. And the idea and focus on really not getting busy, not getting caught up totally in everything else we've got to deal with, the work, the children, the running around, the groceries. We got to do all those things. But taking the time each and every day to really celebrate, really truly celebrate what this means in our lives, I think is what being Catholic and being Christian is all about. And finding little ways to do that each and every day. And I would argue not just for the octave of 50 days, I would think of it as 365 days. We're so fortunate, we're so blessed. Let's make sure we take the time never to forget that.
And obviously, we're celebrating the greatest event, the greatest mystery, and the greatest event of all time, really. The greatest miracle is what I'm trying to say of all time, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we should be really joyful deep down in our hearts when we recognize this truth, not only this week, but for this entire Easter season.
Yeah. And there's a lot of ways to do it, John. And I'm sure maybe some of our callers will give their views. But I look at it as one simple way of just showing a lot of gratitude. You know, every day, whether you do your personal self-examination, whatever you do to actually say, well, what am I grateful for? You know, yes, there are problems. Yes, there are challenges. You know, that's why we're on trial on this earth rather than being in heaven. But, you know, to actually being grateful for, what are the things that I have been very fortunate and blessed despite all the issues, despite the fact that, I may have gotten COVID or I may have lost my job or I may have issues with my children. What am I truly grateful for? And how do I take the time to really thank Jesus for everything he's done for me and my family and my loved ones?
This psalm today and every day during this octave, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. It's a really beautiful scripture that reminds us every day is important. Every day is a reason to rejoice, and especially here in this season.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Not only does doing this be meaningful to remind me of what I do, but by doing that and being joyful, you know, I can obviously impact every single person that I come in contact with. And I think that's what we're really called to do, particularly, John, those of us that are lay people, because, you know, very often my uncle, who was a priest, who died many years ago, but he always reminded me that, you know, yes, he can impact a lot of people, but he said, you know, most of the people I impact are the people who come to church every day. And, you know, what I would like you to do as my nephew is whatever you do, whether you're in business, whether you're in law, whether you're a teacher, you know, if you can really bring Christ to every person that you interact with by the example that you set and the joy that you have, you know, you probably don't bring a lot of people to Jesus if you're mumbling and complaining and the glass is half empty. But if you're really joyful, and I like to think of it, John, you know, that my glass isn't half full. My glass is overflowing, okay, because we have Jesus. And to be able to demonstrate that, I think, has an enormous impact on the other folks that we can bring to Jesus.
Can you explain to us the difference between joy and happiness? I think that, you know, so oftentimes the two can be confused, you know, joy versus happiness.
Yeah, well, I always say, John, you know, opinions rather than answers. But to me, there is an enormous difference because, you know, happiness is sort of almost sometimes, oh, I'm happy. You've made me happy. I've got a present. There's almost to me, John, almost a certain selfishness when I think about I want to be happy, but because it almost seems to me it's almost kind of like self-centered in some way, as opposed to when I think of joyful, I think of what I'm spreading way beyond myself to Julie, to the children, to every single person that I interact with. You know, I was actually talking to a colleague of mine yesterday. Who just is taking on another job and got promoted. And I wanted to call him right away just to let him know, wow, you know, I'm really proud of you. That's fantastic. And just spreading joy to others, in my mind, is what we're all about. And interestingly enough, they do get tied together because by spreading joy, okay, that can actually make you happy. But it is not, that's not the... was an old math major, John. It's not the independent variable. It's the conclusion that I could be happy as a result of spreading joy.
Professor Harry, you know I'm a former sportscaster and one of my favorite people in the whole professional Major League Baseball world is Mike Sweeney, and he once told me when we were talking about joy and happiness that he said happiness is hitting a 3-run walk-off home run to win the game, and you're happy and you're rounding the bases and everybody's cheering. But it's fleeting. After the game, it's over. He said, joy is knowing you have our Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And that's something that lasts, and that's something that's interior, and it's not fleeting like a 3-run homer.
That's a great way of saying it, John. It's a great way of saying it. It's what you're able to do that has a long-term impact, not of, oh, okay, well, I'm happy I got a candy bar. Now the candy bar is gone. Now I'm not happy. Okay, no. Joy is an ongoing thing that we share because of our relationship with Christ.
We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Professor Harry Kramer. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Absolutely love these Easter hymns. We are an Easter people. We're talking about Easter joy in everyday life, ways that we can celebrate the joy of this Easter season every single day. If you want to be part of the conversation, give us a call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I'm John Morales. Once again, thanks for being with us this morning on this Easter Wednesday. Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Kellogg School of Management, is with us. Harry, can you share with us some practical ways that we might be able to really continue to experience joy here during this Easter season?
I guess the way I think about it constantly is how what I do can impact others. And sharing it with my family, Judy likes to every single day, say a rosary. And so I try to join her in doing that. She will not go to bed at night without doing the rosary. And sometimes I literally will say, hey, you know, hey, honey, it's kind of late. And she'll say, well, it's late, but this will only take me 15, 16 minutes. I can listen in on the on one of the ones from Father Rocky. So by personally doing that, encouraging the children to participate in that, I think that's a great family way to do it. And then as I said earlier, in my mind, it's making sure that everybody that I come in contact with, through my behavior, through the joy that I show, the love I show toward others, they're constantly, well, why do you feel like that? Why is the glass overflowing? And then it gives me the opportunity to talk about my faith and the difference it has in my life. Because I really do believe the world we're living in now, John, that ends up becoming so unbelievably secular, so focused on social media, and where everybody's running around, we forget the difference between activity and productivity. Why are we here? What is our purpose? You know, do we realize that this is all just we're just passing through here in a blink of an eye, and are we preparing ourselves and as many people as possible for life with Christ beyond this world? I think it's very, very easy to get caught up in the day-to-day. So it's constantly remembering that and what I'm doing through my example. That's what I try to do.
888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you want to share what joy means to you during the season of Easter. We had a caller that couldn't hang on that asked the question, what's the difference between happiness and pleasure? Professor, your take.
Oh, boy. I guess I think of pleasure, again, as sort of a short-term phenomenon. I can have pleasure in something, and somebody says, well, no, but that doesn't please me. Well, just because it doesn't please me doesn't mean that I can't be happy or I can't be joyful, right? It's sort of like, I'm not pleased by the fact I got to take the garbage out, okay? Well, you know what, though? If that makes Julie happy, if that's an example of something I'm showing that I'm helping with the family work around the house, I think that can make me happy, even though there's not a pleasure in it.
You mentioned gratitude, perhaps the opposite, to be ungrateful. Can you talk about crucifying our selfishness and our entitlement or our lack of love and sympathy? How can we do that and really just, get rid of it here during this Easter season?
Well, to me, that comes very, very easily when I think of what Jesus did for us. Okay. So if I'm having a bad day or something isn't working out, okay. I go to a Cubs game and I think, oh, this will be a lot of fun. And I realize it's snowing and it's 25 degrees. Well, guess what? Compared to what Jesus did for us, I have absolutely nothing to complain about. I actually kind of think, given what he did for us, and given what we have to look forward to, Why would I complain about anything? Why would I be ungrateful? Now we're all human. There's a temptation to do that. But then I guess, again, you always have to ask yourself, and my uncle, who was a priest, used to say, hey, what are you complaining about? I mean, we have Christ in our lives. Why should we be complaining? And then he'd always sort of push, John, and here is one, I don't know if we've mentioned in the past, but it always had a big impact on me. He'd always literally say, hey, you may say you're Christian, But are you really Catholic? And then he used to like tease us, and he'd say, hey, if you ever got accused in court of being a Christian and being Catholic, could you ever be found guilty? Is there enough evidence, John, that you really are, other than just saying the words? And I think that's a problem today. There's a lot of people that walk around and say they're Christian, but really. You're walking around, you're ungrateful, you're complaining, you're not spreading the joy. Could you be found guilty of being a Christian? I think it's a great question. My uncle used to ask me.
Well, we have Margaret joining us this morning from Staten Island, New York. Margaret, happy Easter. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Professor Harry.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. My Easter story is bittersweet. I was at Mass in the morning with my developmentally disabled brother, and the priest's homily was asking, why are you here? You could be so many other places. And why are you in church today? And my brother, who isn't very verbal, he called out love. And the priest heard him and understood him. And then he said, love who? And my brother yelled out, God. And I was so proud of him because he's, and, you know, I was just amazed that he probably did more evangelization in those two words, you know, than many homilies do. And I was proud of him. We went home. We had Easter dinner. And during Easter dinner, we received a call that another brother died of a heart attack on his way to Easter dinner. So my Easter joy was short-lived. And I just asked for prayers for our family.
Thank you, Margaret. Obviously, you're going to be in our prayers. And Professor, this can be joy and at the same time a very difficult time for some folks.
Yeah. And Mark, so thank you so much for sharing. And as John said, we'll pray for you. We'll pray for both of your brothers. And obviously, he's now with God and with Jesus. And, you know, we'll think of you. We'll think of him. And, you know, just realize that, that Jesus is with us. And, you know, sometimes there'll be difficult periods, but he is, Father Rocky always reminds me, he's always with us. He's always there. He's always beside you. So may God bless you and your family.
And keep trusting in the Lord. Just pray, Jesus, I trust in you. And he's with you no matter how difficult the situation. Thanks so much, Margaret. We go to Chicago. Kathy is joining us. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Professor Harry Kramer.
Hi. What I'd like to say is we teach, my daughter and I teach CCD. And one thing I noticed about teaching seventh graders that who are in the public schools, they're inundated with all these news programs through CNN and other things. So teaching the boundary of the faith was really important for us because of the things that these kids were believing and confused by. But all I wanted to say was we had a lot of kids with a lot of needs in our classes, and I don't think people realize that with the CCD programs, you're getting a lot of students that have those needs, and a lot of it is this clarity. So what I wanted to say was I noticed in my daughter, more so than I, she was very patient and did one-on-one with a lot of them. And I learned a lot from my daughter's patience, where I was the one that was more emphatic about what our boundaries are as Catholics. So just wanted to mention that.
Thanks so much, Kathy. Professor?
Well, first of all, Kathy, thank you. Thank you so much for teaching CCD. That is a gift to all of these students, particularly a lot of these students that don't have other opportunities to really learn about Christ and what he's done for us and the joy that John's talking about. So you taking the time, again, in your busy life and your daughter to actually do this, this is so terribly needed. Particularly for children in public schools that, you know, they get exposed to a whole lot of things that we didn't get exposed to when we were children and young adults. And so doing that, in my mind, is an enormous opportunity. Then probably we ought to be encouraging, John, more and more people with strong faith to teach CCD because, boy, oh boy, given the world we're in, we definitely need more people like Kathy.
No question about it. It is so needed. Thanks so much, Kathy. Professor, my heart, one final last thought. Without the Holy Spirit, St. Paul says you cannot say that Jesus is Lord. We need to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit to help us really experience that joy of Easter here during this octave and the Easter season. Thanks so much for being with us, Professor Harry.
As always, it's a blessing, John. You take care.
And that was my recent conversation during the Easter season with Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management and a Morning Air regular contributor. Let's continue to pray to the Mother of God for peace and an end to the war in Ukraine with Russia. Pray the Rosary with Father Rocky on the Family Rosary across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week. And also pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy at 3 p.m. Central on the Drew Mariani Show. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Gabby Berg, Sarah Tafoya, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is up next.